a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Hello, hello? Okay. I have to call the meeting to order. Senate Commerce and Energy Committee, call to order. I want to greet everyone who's listening over the internet and everyone who's in the room right now. I apologize. We have been having issues with the microphone system in this room for some time now, and this morning we have had we've been trying to get it fixed, but there might be some feedback and some difficulties. So I apologize if you're trying to listen, whether here or over the internet, but we thank you for taking the time. I would like to, we don't have any pages, but we do have a couple shadows here, and I was wondering if you would like to step up to the microphone.
You sound very scratchy.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. Is this any better? Okay. Thank you, Senator Lederman. Could we have the shadows, the 4-H shadows, come up and just say who you are and where you're from and what grade you're in? Yeah, sorry.
Can I push this? I'm Sydney Sleep, and I'm from Spearfish, and I'm a junior in high school.
Thank you.
I'm Callie Sleep, and I'm also from Spearfish, and also a junior.
It's sisters?
Cousins.
Cousins. Okay, and who are you shadowing today?
I'm shadowing Mr. Lederman, Senator Lederman.
Okay. And Sydney is shadowing me, so she got the better end of that deal. want to remind everyone to please turn off your cell phones. We do fine a lot in Commerce and Energy. And with that, the Secretary will please call the roll.
Bogalka, Buell, Jensen,
aye.
Johnston,
here.
Maher,
here.
Lederman,
Pauline,
here.
Six of the seven.
A quorum is present. With that, the Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Johnston. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. So moved. Please, if you're here to testify today, sign in back there. We are going to take the calendar in order. So, to start off, we will go with House Bill 1091, an act to establish certain provisions regarding the labeling of motor fuel at a retail fuel pump. Gesundheit, Senator Buell. Any proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Justin Cronin, District 23. Today, I bring you House Bill 1091. Over the past probably 12 months now, there was some issues arose in South Dakota. With,
just a minute,
I'm sorry.
Representative. We're going to exchange microphones with you.
That one sounds terrible. That could just be my voice.
How about this? Any better?
It's a little better, yep.
Okay.
I'll just speak louder.
That's just what we don't need from you today, Representative.
All right. My voice after karaoke last night, so you're by saved.
that is preserved now for eternity. But fortunately, your karaoke version is not.
That's so. Right. Thank you. Members of the committee and Mr. Chairman, once again, I bring House Bill 1091. Over the last 12 months, there's been brought into question the legality of 85-octane fuel in the state of South Dakota. Through an attorney general's opinion last year, in early 2012, it was determined that 85-octane fuel was not allowed legally in South Dakota by statute. Unfortunately, we had been selling it for upwards of about 70 years in the western nine counties of South Dakota. Then, throughout the next few months, a rules review committee was established, and it was found that there was some. A lot of it came to light because there was folks. The interpreted rule that everybody kind of went under was West River. you could sell 85-octane fuel. East River, you couldn't, because historically, 85-octane fuel is meant for higher elevations. It's an anti-knock, and when you get into the higher elevation states, anywhere along the Rocky Mountain Pipeline, which is where Rapid City draws their fuel, which services from the refineries in Montana all the way to Utah, Colorado, and it's a main source of fuel. And there were some folks that were taking this fuel across to the eastern South Dakota and selling it at a discount and mislabeling it. So that's where the whole discussion started. And after that discussion, there was an emergency rule put in place that said you cannot sell 85-octane fuel east of the nine counties, the western nine counties in South Dakota. And then in those nine counties, if you are to sell 85-octane fuel, it shall be labeled subregular and have a warning label attached to it. And then that was an emergency rule that was going to be in effect until June 30th of this year, until the legislature could act on it. And so the administration brought forth a bill, and the Petroleum Marketers Association, the industry, brought forth a bill, and it was lining up to be quite a fight. But as usual, when cool heads can prevail, you sit down and we discuss our points on both sides. The governor's office and the Department of Public Safety's main concern was making sure the public knew that what they were putting in their fuel tank. Their proposed bill would have labeled everything subregular. Well, that drew into me some concerns as a petroleum marketer myself, that sometimes when you sign agreements with petroleum companies, you are limited as to what you can call a product. But we also saw the governor's point and the Department of Public Safety's concern about educating the public as to what they're doing. So we came to a compromise the night before the committee meeting in the House, which amended the last section, the second to the last section of the bill, page 3, line 6. Under the original version, it would have said subregular, subregular unleaded, and sub unleaded. 85-octane. That was part of our compromise, along with in section one, the other part of the compromise, we kept it regular, because everybody West River knows that their gas is regular. 85-octane has been regular for 70 years. It's going to stay regular now. But what we decided to do was we will identify next to the little 85-octane sticker, the little yellow stickers that you see on the gas pumps, will be a label or a notice that says may not be suitable for all engines. Refer to owner's manual before fueling. And that was where the compromise finally came down. The governor wanted to make sure the public knew that this may not be recommended for all engines, and we wanted to make sure that we could still call the product regular, because as a gas station owner myself, when you get pumps, they come with prefabbed markings on them. And depending on which company you're contracted with, it's either regular, unleaded, or regular unleaded. And that's what you get. And then there's a mid-grade, which would be your 87, 89, 91, or 87, 89, 88 octane levels, and then premium, super, or supreme. So we were able to take care of the problem from the retailer's point, where they don't have to have an issue with their supplier and their contractor, because when you're branded with somebody, that's a good thing. I mean, you want to be branded. You're branded Senex, you're branded Exxon, you're branded Conoco. Those are things that people see along the roads. But my fear was that once we started down this road of renaming a product from a company, they would start pulling out their contracts on these folks. And so we came to an agreement, the governor's office, the Department of Public Safety. We had great discussions over about a two-day period, and it ended up culminating the night before in an agreement that we have before you today, and I would urge your support. I think we achieved both sides here very well, where the public has never been educated more about 85-octane in the state of South Dakota, and neither have I. So I didn't think this was going to be one of my biggest issues in Pierre this year, but I sure am glad that I was able to work together with these folks to put something together for you today. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you very much. Any further proponent testimony on 1091? Thank you very much. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist for South Coast Association Cooperative.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailer Association. First of all, Mr. Chairman, I just got a text from over at my office that apparently the Internet is not working in here at all, so I'm not sure if there's some problems with that, but I wanted you to be aware of that. That wasn't necessarily why I came up, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted to lend our support.
Representative Cronin then is off the hook for his comment early on, so.
But I understand he wants to sing a little bit more, Mr. Chairman, so if you'd like that.
Okay. And now Representative Cronin singing Delilah.
This is going really well. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailer Association. I, too, will be brief. We represent a number of the petroleum folks around the Safe Marketers and have followed the leadership of the Petroleum Marketers Association and the compromise that they've reached with the Department of Public Safety, and we would support the bill as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponents? Hearing none, we'll ask for opponent testimony on House Bill 1091. Any opponents? Hearing none, we will open it up for questions and or discussion and or action by the committee. Any questions? Senator Maher.
I move due pass.
Motion of due pass moved by Senator Maher. Is there a second? seconded by Senator Jensen. Any discussion on that?
There's some comments in unless you wanted to.
No, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Being the only member of the Rules Committee on this committee, we've spent a lot of time dealing with this over the summer with the emergency rules that were mentioned as well as the theoretical permanent rules before they could become before the legislature. So I spent a lot of time looking at this, and I had some significant concerns about whether consumers fundamentally knew what they were putting in their cars. And as not a car expert, I defer to the manufacturers who we heard from time and time again saying that this is bad for cars, that this is a huge deal for what this can do to your engine if it's used in not higher elevations like what's out available West River. And so my biggest concern was that people were aware of that and consumers could make good choices. And so seeing that we have not heard any opposition on this one from the manufacturers, and there seems to have been a great deal of discussion about this, I was planning to support the bill.
Thank you, Senator Beal. Senator Johnston.
Just a few minutes ago, we did get a letter from Honda Motor Companies to our email, but obviously that's not entered into the official testimony about their concern. To Senator Buell's point, Honda Motor Company did have some concerns about it, but I can't put my hands on the email all of a sudden. But I have lived in Rapid City and have traveled quite a bit and used it, and it comes down to the fact that you know, to Senator Buell's point, this has been such a discussed issue. It has been litigated, but at the end of the day, we have to, with the department testifying on its behalf and not really having any opponent testimony, I think just it's an issue, but we just need to move forward.
Thank you, Senator Johnston. Any other discussion? Hearing none, the motion is due pass. Moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Jensen. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher? Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
It's unanimous in favor of House Bill 1091. With that, it will be sent down to the Senate floor with motion, recommendation of due pass. Thank you very much. While we have a few people leaving, we did not get our page to come and say hello to us today. I believe, is it Fabio? And from Italy. So please come up and recognize so we can find out who you are for everyone.
I'm Fabio Galletto, an exchange student from Italy, and I'm spending this year at Piero Tiafresi High School, and me here, so, yeah.
Fantastic. Where are you from in Italy?
The north, next to Florence. The city is Bologna.
So. I've been to Bologna.
Nice.
So, very nice. just real quick, having been to Italy, Italian pizza is nothing like American pizza. How do you like American pizza?
Wow. Yeah, it's great.
You have the makings of a politician, my young man. You can lie into the microphone. Very good. Thank you very much. With that, we'll move on to House Bill 1051, an act to revise certain provisions related to the director's orders to hazardous insurers. Any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Joshua Anderson, and I'm with South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation, Division of Insurance. We have before you this morning House Bill 1051, which is an act that came to our attention during the last year. As we prepared for accreditation, the director of the Division of Insurance is charged with financially reviewing our domestic insurance companies and certifying their financials that they're solvent to operate in our state. We are required to be accredited by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners on a routine basis. Once we're accredited, what that means is that when we review the financials of our domestic insurers, they can take those financials into any other jurisdiction, and we get reciprocity. In preparing for our reaccreditation this year, we've found a provision in our code that was out of compliance with the model. So what you have in front of you is a bill that would just update that particular code provision in compliance with the model so that we can make our accreditation process go as smoothly as possible. And with that, I will stand by for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponents? Hearing none, we'll ask for opponent testimony on 1051. Hearing no opponent testimony, we'll open up for questions and or discussion from the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnston.
Can you take action?
I just want to make sure that there is no questions, and it does not look to be so.
I move due pass.
Motion of due pass moved by Senator Johnston. Is there seconded by Senator Buell? Any discussion on that? With that, the secretary will please call the roll. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay.
Regalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher is excused. Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
6, unanimous.
It's unanimous in favor of House Bill 1051.
Sure.
Senator Johnston?
Aye.
Motion of consent moved by Senator Johnston, seconded by Senator Lederman. This is a voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? House Bill 1051, due pass, placed on the consent calendar. For the shadows who are here today, consent is a time-saving device. When a bill is non-controversial and there is no opponent testimony, we can place it on consent so we don't have to talk about it all over again on the Senate floor. With that, we'll move to House Bill 1054, an act to repeal certain rulemaking authority for the Director of Insurance. Welcome back.
Mr. Chairman, again, Joshua Anderson with the Department of Labor and Regulation. House Bill 1054 is an act that would repeal certain rulemaking authority that is currently rests with the Director of the Division of Insurance. Several years ago, it came to our attention through our friends at LRC that we had some authority that was too broad to be used as general authority. So we have been unable to use that authority. Later on, we found that it conflicted with some other provisions that we've got in the title. So we thought the simplest way to solve that problem was to ask you to repeal this section, get that rulemaking authority off the book, and get rid of any conflict we may have. So with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponents? Hearing none, we will ask for opponent testimony on House Bill 1054. Any opponents? Hearing none, we will open it up for questions and or discussion and or action by the committee.
Chair.
Senator Buell.
I move due pass.
Second.
Motion of due pass moved by Senator Buell, seconded by Senator Johnston. Any discussion on that? Any other comments on that? With that said, the motion is due pass. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Regalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher? Excused. Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Unanimous 6.
It's unanimous in favor of 1054.
Second.
Motion of consent moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Johnston. Voice vote. All those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? House Bill 1054 is motion due pass and placed on the consent calendar. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, committee. With that, we'll move on to Senate Bill 119. An act to ensure freedom of media coverage of high school activities. We have, just wait for him. Thank you very much. Is Mr. Lyons still in the room? Do you know, are we on the internet yet?
I know Mr. Carson was listening throughout the hall, so I think you must be now.
Okay, thank you very much. I apologize for anyone who is listening. Early on in this committee meeting, we were not being broadcast over the internet, and we've just been having problems with our microphone system in this room for a little over a week now, and today we were trying to get it fixed, and thank you for bearing with us during these glitches. We have one of our own to pitch this, Senator Johnston.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, or good morning, excuse me. Mark Johnston, State Senator, District 12. And before we get into the merits of House Bill 119, I just want to give you a refresher course in our Constitution. And from, and I went to the short version of Wikipedia, and I read, the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is part of the Bill of Rights. The amendment prohibits the making of any law respecting an establishment of religion, impending the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech, infringing on the freedom of the press, interfering with the right to peaceably assemble, or prohibiting the petitioning of a governmental redress of grievances. And I want to really focus on the part about infringing on the freedom of the press. And that's really the core of what Senate Bill 119 comes to us about today. Senate Bill 119 doesn't want to limit the ability of a school district to contract with media outlets. But what I believe, and I believe what the framers of the Constitution believe, is some of the current practices going on within school boards and school districts today limits the press from covering events at taxpayer-supported events. I'll give you an example. Recently, I got an email from the publisher of the Watertown Public Opinion, and he wanted to share with me a situation that happened in his community where the local radio station who frequently broadcasts the games over the radio but also live streams the event on their website was not allowed to because of a contract between a school district and an existing and another media outlet. And you can see right on the website for KWAT Radio in Watertown where it says January 22nd, Watertown versus a Sioux Falls school, and in parentheses behind it, if allowed. If allowed. And the screenshot was from the night of this given game between Watertown and Sioux Falls, where typically KWAT Radio would live stream the game, and the screen was black. They were not allowed. I have trouble with that. I think we should be encouraging multiple contracts, multiple opportunities for media outlets to broadcast the great activities, whether it's a sporting event, a concert, a drama event, whatever it may be. But what's going on in practice today, the exclusivity of these contracts, limiting the ability of the public to participate from afar, whether it's a mom or a dad who may be deployed in Afghanistan and want to watch their son and daughter at a respective event, or grandma and grandpa who may be in Arizona this winter and not be able to watch their grandson or granddaughter. And so I'm going to stand down and let other folks talk, but I really ask you to consider the impact that these exclusive contracts are having on the inability of the public to view, watch, listen to their family members' events, and in a major way, infringe on the ability of the media to do their job. And so I'll stand by for questions, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to pitch Senate Bill 119.
Thank you, Senator Johnston. Any further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. And I think Senator Johnson has done an eloquent job of getting to the heart of what this bill is about, and we appreciate his comments and his sponsorship of this bill. As with any bill that comes before you, the question should always be, what is the problem? Why is the bill here? I think Senator Johnson has already laid some of that out. We don't take the decision to come to the legislature with this bill lightly. Our association members have discussed this at great length and considered what options were available. At the end of the day, we believe this legislation before you is the best solution to address a real problem that exists in South Dakota today. And so what is the problem? You've heard some of it already. And here's a few other stories. In Sioux Falls last year, the public school district sought to specifically prohibit the local newspaper from broadcasting high school football and basketball games on the Internet. First, the school district said that all broadcasters, including TV, radio, and ArgusLeader.com, would pay $125 per event or $1,000 per season per sport for the right to air play-by-play coverage of public school interscholastic events. They said declining ticket sales at games were the reason for the change, although it was never really demonstrated there was a direct correlation between the broadcasting of games and ticket sales. Later, the school said no one would be charged for broadcasting games, but live stream by ArgusLeader.com would not be allowed. And as you just heard today, news media from other communities that want to come live stream broadcast games that are taking place in Sioux Falls public schools are prohibited from doing so. In Pierre, it's not the news media from the hometown of visiting teams that are prohibited from live streaming games, but it's certain local peer media who are prohibited. In Pierre, an exclusive contract between the school and a local radio station prohibits a competing radio station or the local newspaper from broadcasting peer school athletic events. However, those restrictions in Pierre do not apply to any out-of-town news outlets that want to come here to live stream or broadcast a game. So as you can see, we have a hodgepodge and a total inconsistency of rules across the state. Elsewhere, newspaper reporters are being, photographers are being unreasonably restricted on how they can cover high school competitions. Reporters are limited on how they can use social media, such as Twitter and Facebook, to report live from a high school game. Changes in media technology are why we're here today and why this bill is before you. All news media have expanded beyond what we know as their traditional media tools. Newspapers are now broadcasters, live streaming events and games over the Internet. Broadcast media are now print newspaper journalists, publishing photos and written stories. Newspapers and radio stations around the state are teaming up to do webcasts of high school games. And all media are using social tools to reach readers and viewers. The news media have expanded their tools to cover these games and school events because their audience has come to expect that coverage. It's pretty cool when grandpa and grandma in some other part of the country can tune in and watch a webcast of their grandchild participate in a sporting event back in South Dakota. And passage of Senate Bill 119 will help ensure that those robust, ever-expanding, and changing news media tools continue to be used to cover high school interscholastic events in South Dakota. If you pass this bill and it's signed into law, this bill will ensure that public schools in South Dakota cannot prohibit the ability of news media to do their jobs as journalists in covering high school sports and other interscholastic events, such as school concerts and drama plays. Senate Bill 119 puts a stop to public schools creating exclusive deals for media coverage of interscholastic events. Nothing more, nothing less. This bill does not create a special privilege for newspapers, for TV, for radio, or for any other media. This bill is written in such a way to encompass the news media as broadly as possible. Senate Bill 119 does not create any special deal for the news media in South Dakota. All news media in South Dakota are motivated to serve the citizens of their communities with the best news coverage that they can provide. Readers and viewers expect that the local news media will provide coverage of local school events, and a good news media outlet will do its best to live up to those expectations. Restricting or even prohibiting certain media from being able to cover local school interscholastic events is wrong, especially when you're talking about 100% taxpayer-supported activities that are happening in venues built and maintained by taxpayer dollars 100%. Shouldn't public schools be striving to ensure the broadest media coverage possible of interscholastic activities in South Dakota and not doing special deals to restrict that coverage? We should all be striving to shine the spotlight broadly and brightly on these activities and achievements of our students, whether it be on the football field, the basketball court, or the stage. Passage of this bill will help sure that it continues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith, and I am a registered lobbyist together with Mr. Bordewijk for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. Before I begin, I'd like to thank, on behalf of the Newspaper Association and the other media outlets who were behind this bill, thank Senator Johnston for his efforts in getting this bill put into the legislature and then for his great arguments this morning. I've been asked to come up and take us through analysis of the bill, just to explain what the purposes are for these sections in the bill. The first section includes the definitions. The definition for journalism is intended to cast a broad net. The United States Supreme Court has said that the freedom of the press, guaranteed by the First Amendment, extends to a wide range of media activities, and that is the intention of the definition for journalism. It is intended to describe all activities that media representatives may conduct at interscholastic high school activities. The definition for news media is intended to cover all news media outlets. We do not want local school districts to be able to bar any media outlets via exclusive contract or otherwise. Newspapers and radio stations are only part of the media equation, and those are covered in that definition. The definition for school district is citing to another portion of our code. It's intended to apply to public school districts operating in the state of South Dakota. It does not reach any higher than the public school district at the local level and is not intended to extend to private schools. The definition for school board is along the same lines. It's the governing body of a school district, so the separating out these two definitions of school district and school board within the bill is intended to show that that the bill will sweep in any kind of interference by either the school board itself, the school superintendent, and, as we'll talk about in a minute, even individual members' schools in the districts. Section 2 is the most important, and if it wasn't said before, I'll say it again. This bill is very simple. It is intended to prevent any school district or school board from interfering with the right of news media to conduct journalism at high school interscholastic activities. That is the only scope of this bill. The district or board must also prevent individual schools from interfering with those rights. The public has a right, as has been discussed, for access to journalism activities, and news media have a constitutional right to report on these activities. The bill does not apply to anything under the purview of the South Dakota High School Activities Association. It clearly says no school district or school board may interfere. It does not touch on the Activities Association. Now, we have discussed this bill with a representative for the Activities Association. They do have concerns with the last sentence. They made one specific concern. The last sentence in Section 2, all interscholastic high school activities or events are matters of public interest. We are willing to strike that sentence from the bill in order to address the specific concern that they have raised with the bill, and I do have that amendment, and we'll ask the pages to pass that out. So we would consider this a friendly amendment and support that. The schools, and as we see it, this sentence being removed from the bill does not change the spirit or intent of the bill or the effect or scope. The schools are expected to argue that this bill may be unnecessary because the incidents addressed by it, the exclusive contracts, are isolated or rare. Then we don't see any harm in that case in the bill being passed. If these are only isolated incidents, then clearly we should be able to protect the constitutional rights of the news media under the First Amendment. The activities outlined in Section 2 are ones that the public expects to be reported by news media. Favoritism among news media or certain media outlets clearly interferes with the right to freedom of the press. That cannot be denied. They are prevented thereby from reporting the news to the public. That portion of the Bill of Rights was adopted in direct response to situations like what we see going on right now in South Dakota, with the British Crown allowing only some newspapers to continue operation or to report on news media or matters of public interest and shutting down others or preventing others' access. God bless you. Picking and choosing among media outlets and not allowing some to report infringing on the constitutional rights of some is unconstitutional. The third section addresses legitimate limits that may be placed on the access to or presence at these high school activities. Primarily, this section is concerned with rules that the school district or school board might adopt governing media access for purposes of safety. Governing, for instance, as an example, where the news reporters may set up on the sidelines of a football game. We understand that there are certain safety concerns with having people clustered in one area in case someone goes out of bounds. We wanted to be reasonable about the legislation. The district or board may put in place reasonable rules so long as those rules do not interfere with the right of the news media to conduct journalism activities at the events. We see this bill as being very common sense and perfectly within line with the United States Constitution, and I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponents? Hearing none, we'll ask for opponent testimony. Actually, should we move the amendment? We have an amendment to consider. It's Amendment 119, Oscar Alpha.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lederman.
I move 119 OA.
Motion of moving Amendment 119 OA moved by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Beal. Any comment on that?
No.
Is this a voice vote or a... This is a simple voice vote, so all those in favor of 119 OA, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Bill 119 is amended. With that, now we will ask for opponent testimony.
Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, my name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, South Dakota, and I speak this morning on behalf of the Sioux Falls School District. Let me make one thing very clear, I guess, before I start my testimony, and that is that you should ask yourself why this bill is here instead of why is it not in the court system if it is clearly constitutional for you to be asked to restrict the property rights of deciding what happens to your product. And in this case, that product is a sports event. There is case law on point. I'm surprised that you've been told that this is in line with the Constitution or in line with Supreme Court case decision, because I feel it clearly is not, and in fact would clearly fly in the face of Supreme Court precedent. I'd like to take some time today and share that with you and how I arrive at that. The balance of property interests and the balance of the First Amendment isn't something new. The courts have been dealing with issues like this for years. But before we start down that road, I want to make sure we're clear about what the bill does. This bill is all about whether the news media would have the right to mainstream or live stream the performance that is now governed by the South Dakota High School Activities Association through a contract that exists with them and the local school board. Okay? So the product is an athletic performance that is owned by that school district, and that school district is contracting with South Dakota Activities Association so that or others that where they can contract with a provider so that there is an exclusive provider who's authorized to live stream. So what the bill is about is whether anybody can live stream the performance. That's what this bill is about. And that, we think, is very problematic. There's actually kind of a famous case upon which the legal precedent is set in this instance. It's the case of Zarconi versus Schreps and Howard Broadcasting. It's a United States Supreme Court case, and it's a case that the Wisconsin Supreme Court relied greatly on in 2011, in looking at a very similar situation, where the news media in that case was complaining about the similar kind of situation where they wanted to live stream the sports events. And in that case, the Wisconsin Federal District Court relied on that Supreme Court case of Zarconi versus Schreps. And in that case, the Supreme Court spent a great deal of time discussing that there is a difference, and this is very important. There's a significant difference between the reporting or covering of an event and the broadcasting or publishing of an entire act. Years ago, Mr. Zarconi was a gentleman who shot himself out of cannons, and that's how this case was first visited by the Supreme Court of the United States. Mr. Zarconi would shoot himself out of a cannon, and he felt that he had the right, that he had the proprietary right, to decide who would be able to reproduce that entire event. The Supreme Court and the Federal District Court in the Wisconsin case applied the Zarconi case here and said that the right of journalism is not the right to broadcast or publish the entire act. Well, if you look at where we've been over the years and then where we are today, we used to have sports events that were broadcast by news media because there was someone there telling the press or telling the public what was happening over radio. It wasn't live streaming everything. So today we have this new conflict about who has the right, if you will, to mainstream or live stream this entire event digitally. The Supreme Court, I think, has been very clear in the Zarconi case and in the recent U.S. Federal District Court case that I'm talking about in the Wisconsin lawsuit. They were clear to say that the right to control your own performance lies with that district, and it lies with the entity that the district contracts with on those kinds of athletic events. In that case, it was the Wisconsin Athletic Interscholastic Athletic Association. Why would they have a right to control what the message is? They have a right to do that because they are careful about what that message is. In high school sports, it's a lot about good, clean athletic competition. In that case of Zarconi, they found that the right to charge a fee was a right that the districts held when applied in the Wisconsin case as well. The right to control your own message, the right to charge a fee, and the right to decide how that message goes out is something that clearly is a proprietary interest, another constitutional right that you all have. To maybe make this a little more simple in terms of how it would apply to you and me, I'd suggest that you consider yourself some sort of a performer. That's your skill. It's your performance. You have the right to decide how that is presented, where it is presented, and through what media it is presented. And that is a private right that you have. You're being asked to decide that the right of journalism now includes the right to live stream your entire act. That is not the constitutional law of the land. If it was, I suggest to you these folks wouldn't be here asking you to pass a bill. They would have filed their lawsuit in federal district court. They haven't. I suggest to you the reason they haven't is because they're quite sure they would lose that case. So they're here to try and get you to muddy the water, if you will, by passing a law that would somehow suggest that your school district is preventing from doing what the United States Supreme Court and as recently as a year ago, the Wisconsin Federal District Court recognized as being a right that that school district has. So we hope you'll take a good hard look at what you're being asked to do here and that you will say no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents?
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Diana Miller, and I'm the registered lobbyist for the large school group. And we, too, will go on record opposed to Senate Bill 119, and for a number of reasons, and I want to go through. I'm glad Mr. Thiessen has explained the constitutional issue. I'm going to go through a few other issues that this bill creates as far as further problems. I found it interesting that the proponents contended that this was a reasonable bill. The last thing I think it is reasonable. It's totally unreasonable and will create many more issues for you than what they're trying to deal with. Second of all, the legislature has lectured and requested and begged local school districts to find ways to become more economical, to generate additional revenue, and school districts have done so. And one of the ways in which they've done so is to allow contracts to exist for broadcasting events, advertising, various things, and they've generated revenue. School districts, secondly, you ask and profess that you are champions of local control. And you ask us, do we trust our local school boards? The answer to that is yes, we do. Because the local school boards best represent the communities in which they serve. And also, they know best what is right for their students, their citizens, their taxpayers, and others. And now the legislature wants to intervene and mandate what should go on in every community across this state. And all communities are diverse and have individual needs. Some have more media outlets than others. Some have fewer. Some have none. So I think you create a problem there. Thirdly, all of these contracts are put out for bid. And I contend anyone, and I want to repeat that, contend anyone can bid for those. Requests for proposals are sent out to all media outlets to allow them the opportunity. And we're not denying the opportunity to report on or cover a game. It basically boils down to a change in our dynamic of society in which Mr. Tezet referred to as live streaming. Now, when a media outlet live streams, they also sell advertising and make money to do this. So it's not just a generous right to know and the public right to know. Thirdly, I would contend that this is interesting in light of another bill that I've been a champion of for many years, and that is allowing schools, counties, and cities to publish their minutes on the internet. And we've been denied that right by law. And we're having the bill, so I hope the newspaper association and the media people are there this year supporting this. The social dynamics have changed. All school districts have websites. All school districts believe in the right to know. All school districts are willing to accommodate and meet the needs of people who do not have internet by putting copies in that. So this is another proposal, and they have traditionally fought us on this. So I find it interesting they want this side of the coin opened up entirely, while the other side of the coin is denied to us, to schools. The fourth point I would make is some comments that were made about the Peer School District. I represent the Peer School District. They are one of my clients in the large school group. And this refers to some of the issues that Mr. Thiessen spoke about. There was a lawsuit in Pierre from the media. And it is was a contract, it was litigated, and the Pierre School District won the lawsuit. So I contend that the decision of the local school board to be economical, efficient, was the right one. I would also say the decision of some school districts, and I'm not speaking for all, brought about a lot of gender equity when you have the reporting of events, because it opened up bidding and RFPs on all events, if you so choose. So I believe this particular bill creates far more issues that the legislature would be mandating and usurping the local decisions of your taxpayers and your community to deal with, and they say isolated incidents. I don't know if they're isolated or not. But we're a technological society moving to be more open and all of that. I think, you know, you're going to see unique ways to approach things. And I certainly concur that it's a great opportunity for grandparents, friends, whatever, to live stream across the country or in other countries. But it's also a great way to allow a school district to exert local control and put it out for bid. The media has every opportunity to bid on it and make a request for proposal. But this particular bill, I contend, creates far more problems, and you ought to leave the decision-making in the hands of a local school district. And, Mr. Chairman, I would urge your opposition to the bill and also to the amendment, because I believe it could, for far-reaching effects, affect the High School Activities Association. I might like to have the games, all three games, broadcasted on every network. And I think that down the road, we have a tendency in this legislature to bring back bills and try to expand them rather than eliminate them sometimes. So I would ask that you defeat House Bill 119, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. And I'd stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponent testimony? Any further opponents? Seeing none, I will grant either Senator Johnston or designee a rebuttal.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to rebut some of the comments made by the opposition to the bill. Mr. Thiessen and Ms. Miller are absolutely correct. There have been court cases that have come down in Wisconsin and in a circuit court in South Dakota. The two courts that have addressed these issues directly, meaning the exclusive contracts granting one media outlet only the right of access to these activities, the two courts have addressed that question and ruled against the media. We come to the legislature today asking you to set a new public policy going forward, or actually to confirm the public policy that's been in existence for over 200 years in the United States under the First Amendment. Protect our freedom of the press. That is the purpose of this bill, and we're asking this legislature to enforce that. This statute would make the issue clear. No school may interfere with news media access, the right under the First Amendment to freedom of the press. Going forward, the courts will now know that in South Dakota, this is, by law, our public policy. The Zarconi case that Mr. Thiessen discussed is not this bill. This bill deals with districts that have prevented any and all access of certain media outlets, all except one, to these activities. The case that he's referring to does not deal with the issues covered by this bill. This is about journalism, regardless of the medium. Live streaming or broadcasting is journalism. Ms. Miller said it herself. This bill, our market needs new and innovative ways to report matters of public interest to the public, including high school activities, and one of those new advancements is live streaming as a form of broadcasting. There is no way for the grandmother sitting in Montana to listen to her grandson or granddaughter playing a high school basketball game by it being broadcast on the radio or television, simply too far away outside the broadcast zone. But on the internet, that can be live streamed to that grandmother, and she can hear her grandchild. We are not here to talk about fees being charged by school districts for media access or control of the message that's being broadcast or distributed by the news media. We're talking about schools cutting off any access. So there is no message being broadcast for them to control. We heard in the opposition that it will create, quote, many issues, yet besides the few issues which were definitively identified by Mr. Teason and Ms. Miller, no specific issues were identified with the bill. So I would say those need to be broken down if there are, quote, many issues. If districts want to place reasonable restrictions on media access, Section 3 allows that right for the purposes of safety or public attendance, etc. They have not addressed the main issue behind this bill. There are districts saying outlet X is the only one who can report at these high school activities. All others are hereby banned from doing that. These exclusive contracts are not bid out in all of the cases. I would like to see the evidence of where that happened in the case of Sioux Falls, with the one news media outlet that was granted exclusive access, and then all the others were forced to pay a tremendous fee in order to get their access. We have not seen any evidence that there was any bid process on that. The Internet Legal Notice Bill is clearly a red herring. It has absolutely nothing to do with the constitutional right to freedom of the press that we are seeking to protect with this bill today. Let's stick to the real issues here rather than confusing the rights that are at stake. Ms. Miller said that we need to find unique ways to moving forward to innovative processes for news media and school districts. Well, that is what the free market process is all about. These exclusive contracts are stifling the free market process, stifling the innovative process, and more importantly, trampling on constitutional rights that have been guaranteed for 200 years. So we ask that you please respectfully consider voting in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before taking questions, the chair is going to break with protocol real quick. It's just painful to watch these poor shadows in the front row eyes glaze over and have a new page right here. Fabio, would you go down and get these three, either a sugar or a caffeine drink, and get one on your own, too? You may need to get a crisp five. So, just the cans, the 75-cent one. I am a fiscal conservative, so. But you have to ask them what they want. Okay. Thank you very much. After we have final disposition on the bill, I'll have you introduce yourself, too. So, thank you for that indulgence. With that, the chair will open up for questions from the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bagalka.
Thank you. Mr. Teason, please. I'm a little confused on this Zarkini character. Was he a high school student when he was shooting himself out of a cannon?
Mr. Chairman. No, I'm sure he certainly was not. It was the case that the Supreme Court established the precedent that a person has a right to control how their performance is presented. He wasn't just a high school student. The Wisconsin case that I referred to cited the Zarkini case and discussed it in that case. In fact, I'm quoting from that. It says, the First Amendment right to report on and to cover an event and its lack of a right to broadcast an entire act is what they were looking at. And they used the Zarkini case to support the decision that this has long been decided by the Supreme Court. And it makes clear, I'm quoting again, that the producer of entertainment is entitled to charge a fee in exchange to consent for the right to broadcast. And lastly, they say, governments, in fact, have the legitimate and substantial interest in raising revenue this way. So, no, Mr. Zarkini was not a high school student. He was a gentleman who was trying to enforce his right to decide who had the right to broadcast the entire act of his performance.
And I assume he was not performing in a public school building.
No, I'm sure he wasn't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Lederman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question to Mr. Thiessen is how this would relate. We're talking about an individual, and what I can't cross the bridge when the students themselves haven't been asked or given any rights. I doubt that they were involved in the decision-making about the cost or the price or the bidding for the sale of the thing. So I can't cross that bridge. Can you help me try to connect those two?
Well, first let me apologize if I didn't make clear in my first comments to you. The case that uses Zarkini is the Wisconsin case that was decided last year. And in that case, in 2011, they were looking at circumstances almost exactly like this. The challenge was, in that case, involving the Wisconsin Interscholastic Association. Our South Dakota Activities Association has apparently taken the sidelines on this bill at this point because of the willingness to strike the last sentence from the bill. Because without that sentence, it won't interfere with their ability to require that there be exclusive broadcasting of this. So then the school who contracts there has to go out and decide to whom they will grant this right to broadcast the entire event. You're asking, if I'm understanding your question correctly, Senator Lederman, the issue of how we get there is in many ways involving the South Dakota High School Activities Association. And schools then are the producer, if you will, of that event, of that performance. And so as the producer of that performance, they would be, in my view, clearly entitled, and I think the court's views from the cases that have been decided, entitled to decide who will have the right to broadcast the entire event. Nobody prevents them from reporting. Nobody prevents them from showing clips. They've been doing that for years. You and I watched them all of our lives. The difference is the live stream of the entire event. That's what this case is about. That's what the bill's about, as I said in my opening comments. And that's where the issue comes in.
I'll grant you a follow-up in just a second. Mr. Thiessen, what was the court case? Who was the individual or source against the Wisconsin Interscholastic Association? If you can be looking
yes,
at that.
Yes, and I'll be happy to provide copies of that case for all of you to read yourself if you wish. I think it shows you that this is a legal matter and ought to be left there. But that case was the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association versus Gannett Company, Inc.
I have it right here. Okay, thank you. Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your remarks, you says that the bill says anyone can live stream, but doesn't the bill limit the coverage to the news media and as it's defined in the bill?
The definition, I think, is so broad that it tries to include journalism as something that is the live stream. From the case that I'm looking at and the Supreme Court case that's cited in the Wisconsin case, it's clear to me that at least in that case they surely feel that there's a big difference between journalism where you report on an event and live streaming the entire act. That would be where the problem lies in the definition, sir.
Any further questions? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor. Thank you. Has the AG's office reviewed this bill as far as the constitutional issue is concerned?
Mr. Chair, I am not aware that the Attorney General's office, I will refer, I'm getting shakes in the head, no.
Senator Bukalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also have a question from the sponsor. The bill, as amended, is okay with the High School Activities Association, and you know, they brought up the question, you know, I guess we know the High School Activities Association is the overseer of all public school activities, and so, I mean, of the Activities Association, I mean, they control the events, and so therefore, what I'm getting at is, if they want exclusive rights to publish or on TV the state tournaments, this is not going to infringe them or any way.
Mr. Chair? Thank you, Senator Bogalka. I can only assume, because of their lack of proponent or opponent testimony, that the South Dakota High School Activities Association is okay in your terms with the bill.
I'm here.
But I believe that Ms. Ryder Rapp has... Mr. Chair, I don't know.
The chair will grant. The chair will grant. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lindsay Ryder Rapp, and I am a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota High School Activities Association. I would tell you that our silence does not necessarily mean that we endorse the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? The chair has a question, I guess, for this sponsor. It doesn't, in your original testimony, you mentioned KWAT radio in Watertown was excluded from doing a game. So it doesn't seem to me that this is only about live streaming a full game on the Internet. Would that be correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that would be my belief as well. Unfortunately, the Broadcasters Association was due to testify on this bill, but were tied up in a previous hearing. But I do see that a representative from the Broadcasters Association, which represents KWAT Radio, is now in the room. And with your leniency, Mr. Chair, I'd ask that if he has any comments with your discretion.
Unless there is an objection from one of the committee members, the chair would allow it. Okay, please come forward. And we have the pops returned by Fabio. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Senator,
Mr.
thank
Chairman,
you.
I object now that I see who this is. He just killed my bill and sent an egg.
We have some background going on here.
Mr. Senator Olin, both Senator Maha and I were pinned to the stand over in Senate Ag for substantially longer. I was in charge of Botho Close, so I can't really speak to how well that went. In response to your particular question, and the practices, well, this is a challenging issue for all parties.
Excuse me, please identify yourself.
Thank you very much. My name is Steve Willard. I'm the executive director and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Broadcasters Association, which is a trade organization, nonprofit organization of, comprised of all the TV and radio stations in the state. And thank you for that, and my apologies. In response to your particular questions, tough issues for all parties. For us, it's bigger than sports. I live here in town. My office is in the back of the KCCR radio station. KGFX radio in town is the one that struck the exclusive deal with the school board. I was part of those conversations. I've got a lot of regard for the superintendent here in town and appreciate the challenges because my kids are both graduates of Peer. So we live this issue up close and personal. I can tell you at the time that they went into those negotiations, that it comes up periodically, because for the schools, we're always challenged with finances. This is a subject that comes up once in a while. But I can tell you the informal conversations is that usually that dies at the athletic director level, because most of the athletic directors have agreed, or at least quietly, will tell you that that it's in their best interest to go ahead and popularize the sports. But for us and Peer, it's bigger than sports. Because I think Superintendent Glote would tell you everything from as cheesy as the lunch menu. I didn't mean that pun, I guess. But everything as far as the lunch menu, the lunch menu to school closings, to the report of the school board, to the property tax levies, to the possible construction of a new athletic you know, complex here in town. But for us, sports is a subset of what the community, of what the radio stations and TV stations try to do for the schools. So for us, sports is an extension of their obligation to the community. So traditionally, or at least in the past, this issue dies at the local level because the schools make the decision on the ground that we value their relationship and they're good for us, because everything that the stations do for the schools just transcends the sports. The sports are a bonus. There isn't a radio or TV station in the state, and I would challenge the guys from public to tell you, with all the exclusive contracts, nobody gets rich doing high school sports. It's just not there. You're selling advertising, trying to cover your costs, and even that's barely, they're barely able to do it. But they cover sports because they cover their schools, and they cover the schools because they're in their community. So this doesn't come up very often. When it does, it's challenging for the members, it's challenging for the schools, I think it's challenging for all. But the issue of high school sports coverage is kind of transcended by our obligation to the schools. And as far as the stations are concerned, it doesn't happen very often because usually the athletic directors and the schools decide just not to do that. Sometimes they do. And I think the downside is substantially more than the limits we're trying to impose today.
Thank you. Any questions? Any questions from the committee to any of the people who came to testify? Hearing none, we'll open it up for discussion and or action. Senator Bagalka.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to make a couple comments. We need to remember that what we're talking about here is public schools and public schools only. These facilities, these teams, these superintendents, athletic directors, etc., are all paid by our tax money. This is a public school that we paid with our property taxes to build this building where the basketball game is going on. This isn't college where the students pay to go there and kids get scholarships. This is our public schools. And I guess I don't really care about this Wisconsin case. If we pass this bill and such a case came up in South Dakota, it would rule in favor of the media or whoever, because we now would have this law that would say you cannot have exclusive contracts. So to me, the Wisconsin case is moot. Maybe they don't have this law. Maybe they need this law. You know, and to bring up some Zarconi guy that wasn't even in high school or a high school team, you know, is really irrelevant to me. So I guess I urge your support of this bill with the media we have now. Like they said, you know, there's people all over the country that might want to watch this game, and they can't pick up KWAT radio in Arizona. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Lederman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if I could say it better than the previous senator, but I do, you know, I do worry about how, what kind of authority we give schools to contract for the likeness of their students. When a student is out there on the field, or when they're in the classroom, or when they're, and images of those students are being sold, put out to bid, I have a little bit of worry about an industry that's starting that maybe, you know, should be looked at and controlled. But you know, there's nothing like sunlight to disinfect. And that's what the beauty of the press is, because they can go in and they can observe everything and they can print it and they can publish it and put it out for everybody's inspection. And I think that's what's right about our system. So I like the bill. I think it's going to get some serious debate on the floor of the Senate and the House, and I appreciate Senator Johnson for bringing it. Thank you. Senator Beal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll agree with the previous speakers and just say that I understand that school districts are in a tough spot and are trying to raise revenue any way they can, and I don't think anything in this bill prevents them from doing some of that, but
I think it's a different animal when you're doing that through exclusive contracts to the detriment of other media outlets. So I hope everyone supports the bill.
Senator Johnston.
Well, thank you, and thank you to all of you senators for your comments on Senate Bill 119. Just one other point, and just to hitchhike along with Senator Bogalka, not only are these public buildings, public facilities, but in some cases, these broadcasts are produced by students. And I think Mr. Teason kind of alluded to that, but just wanted to clarify that point. We're actually our public school kids who are using their career technical education to broadcast these events, and then it's being sold by the school district, if you will, paid by our dollars, as Senator Bogalka. And to clarify, I mean, this is about exclusivity. And as I said in my opening remarks, the value comes with more contracts, allowing multiple mediums to have an opportunity to broadcast, to get more people engaged in the public discussion, whatever it may be. So I'd encourage your support of Senate Bill 119. Thank you.
Thank you. If there is no further discussion, the chair would entertain a motion. Motion is due pass, moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any comment on that? Oh, it's, yeah, correct, sorry. Due pass as amended. Thank you. Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any comments on that? Hearing none, Secretary will call the vote. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, nay.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
It is unanimous. Senate Bill 119, as amended, is moved down to the Senate floor with the recommendation of due pass. Thank you very much for the lively debate. We do have time. I do not know if we will get to final disposition of Senate Bill 100, but I do want to take testimony. We have several people here, and one I know over the phone that we want to arrange. So we'll give just a moment for the room to clear for those people and for the shadows. We have a new shadow who entered who did not get to say hi into the microphone. And also for the Steel Cousins, when you said hi, you were not on the Internet. So if you would like to be on public record for eternity to say hi to your mom and or dad, please do come back up to the microphone and say hi real quick. So please come and say, introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi there, I'm Cully Williams.
Is the red light on?
Yes, okay. It is. I'm Cully Williams, I'm from Redfield, and I'm a senior. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Nice to have you. And did you want to come back up and say hi?
No, I think they do.
I am Callie Sleep, and I am a junior at Spearfish.
And say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
And make sure the red button is on. So.
And I'm Sunny Sleep from Spearfish, and I'm a junior again, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for the pops, by the way.
I was wondering if kids these days appreciated what yes. chairs do. I mean, okay. With that, we will ask for the door to be closed. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Now we will move to consideration of Senate Bill 100, an act to establish a wine direct shipper permit and to provide for certain direct shipments of wine. Senator Adelstein.
Thank you very much. Now, if I had misplaced my notes, which I may have. That's okay.
You got a minute.
Senator Allison, if you wanted to wait about 30 seconds to see if Senators Johnston or Maher came back, you sure could.
I can wait even longer than that because
okay.
I have some new data coming in. And if you want to, and I think there are quite a number of people that want to testify on this. bill by phone. I wonder if we could postpone this bill, move this bill to the next to your next session.
Tell you what, the chair is going to call a 3-minute recess, and I'm going to discuss it and see what we will do with the bill right now. But as of right now, we will take a 3-minute recess, and I'll discuss it with Senator Alstein. Thank you very much. Everyone can be at ease. Senate Commerce and Energy is called back into order. For those listening, we have talked with all of the people who came to testify. Everyone is in agreement that Senate Bill 100 will be heard on Tuesday. We will just start fresh on that bill on Tuesday. A warning to the committee, however, and I'll also talk with the players on the other bill that we'll hear on Tuesday. Might get to be a little bit of a longer day on Tuesday because we'll have two talkers, but I'll just enforce the a time limit on both sides on both bills. So with that, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Johnston, seconded by Senator Bogalka. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Thank you very much.